Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Stop the bleeding.
Right now, eventually, Gonzaga, if they're going to win this game, they're going to eventually have to score points. And they are trailing right now. We are under 10 minutes left to go. And Baylor is boat racing the Zags right now. They lead it 73-56. They have the basketball, and this has been all Baylor from the jump. It's kind of weird because this game looks like a lot of what most of Gonzaga's games have looked like this year, where, hey, Gonzaga races out to a lead and then they kind of just motor through. And no matter what you try to do on the other end, guess what? There's nothing you can do and we're going to wind up winning by 20. I kind of feel that way with Baylor because the Zags have tried different ways to get back in it. They've pushed the pace. They've been able to have Suggs control the ball, and it doesn't matter. They're still down by 16. With just under 10 minutes left to go, as Baylor is playing terrific and the Zags clearly have gotten a bounce from the last game shooting the basketball, even though it's not terrible. Look, they're shooting 50%, but Baylor is just playing at such a high level right now. No matter what Gonzaga does, Baylor has the answer.
Yeah, you shoot 50% from the field. That was the shame of the other night, right? Where it's like, oh, look at how great both the Zags and UCLA played. Unfortunately, someone's got to go down succeed and proceed, and that's what you had in this game. It's just not been close. I mean, you've seen the all hustle plays, the rebounding differential, everything. You know, for Gonzaga, you know, first half, I wasn't calling for a, hey, let's go into a four-corner offense and you know, make eight passes ahead of getting a shot. I was saying, you got to get a shot off, right? Going in among the trees and trying to force your will or launching without any sort of rebounding support. Like, this isn't rock and jock, right? There's no 50-point shot getting you back into a game or 25 or whatever it is. You got to go possession to possession, but you got to make sure you actually end up getting at least one look at the rim, because rebounding wise, they've not been competitive, right? They've just been bullied all night by Baylor, and that's one of the things here from the physicality perspective. I mean, you can see it all over social media right now, and certainly seeing with my own eyes. You listening out there, 600 affiliates strong across this Fox Sports Radio network. You're watching this game, and you're just like, they're just beating them down to where you're like, all right, who is the better team all year? Right, you start all those questions start flowing out of this, going, my God, they've just punished them on both sides of the court, and now you're inside of 9 minutes. Timmy's getting helped by the trainer out off the court, so it's one of those acts of desperation, and suddenly you have to find the stroke and get some stops, because that's the other side, is just the defensive part of the game for Gonzaga. They've had no answer. Got it down to 11, right? It was 10 at half, and then occasionally it looked like, all right, maybe they'll break through. It's like, nope, spurt ability the other way, and now it's a matter of coasting, or so it would seem for Baylor.
Timmy. So, yes, it is a 16-point lead for Baylor. 8:30 left to go. We will keep you updated on this game as we could see perfection going out the window in the next 8.5 minutes. But while Sam Darnold got traded away from the Jets today, we spent a lot of time on that story. We'll have more on that coming up in a few minutes. Aaron Rodgers has begun his stint as Jeopardy host. And clearly this is a topic that has cut through the clutter because it started to make the way around. A Aaron Rodgers episode started today, and a huge viral moment has become a very big deal. Now, Aaron Rodgers teased this over the weekend, saying, hey, something's coming up in my first couple of episodes, that it's a big troll moment and you just have to see it. Now, all you need to know about this story is that, remember when the Packers played in the NFC Championship game, they very famously kicked a field goal late in the fourth quarter when they could have gone for it to tie the game. Instead, they kicked a field goal, and the Buccaneers never gave the football back. The Buccaneers win. They go to the Super Bowl, and they win the Super Bowl. So this has been a big bone of contention with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know why we kicked the field goal at the end. It was a very big deal. I don't know why. We could have gone for it on fourth down. You have to ask them, and now you're at the point where Aaron Rodgers' future with the Packers is decidedly undecided. We have no idea if he's going to be with the team this year, next year, and this was a big moment. So you get the guy who's the two-day champion, who's going to wind up being the two-day champion, who gets to Final Jeopardy and clearly doesn't know the answer to the question that Aaron Rodgers asked. So instead, he decided to write a different question, and here's the audio and what it sounds like.
Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal? That is a great question. Should be correct, but unfortunately for this this game today, that's incorrect, and you're going to lose 0.
So that's a great question, because I don't know why we kicked that field goal either, but yeah, you're going to lose just like we lost, okay, Scott? Way to go. Right? Yeah. Hey, let me come give you a high five, man, because we lost, you lost. It's awesome. High five.
Yeah, part of that was I'd love to know what went through his head in that first moment, knowing, you know, the snark that is normally there with Aaron Rodgers, and he took the other path. Still snarky, but perhaps not as mean-spirited as it could have been. Like, you know, they don't return my calls, nobody will give me a straight answer, whatever the case may be. But yeah, there it is, the viral moment coming out of Jeopardy, the usual trolls. Not just the guy that went and asked that question, which is really Cliff Clavin-like in its epic nature. Who are three people who've never been in my kitchen? Even if you're never going to approach, you know, the Ken Jennings streak or some of these guys and dominate for 2 months plus, this is one that will get you some run. There's no question about it, as a contestant. So a fun moment. Aaron Rodgers, a lot of discussion of would he quit. It's like they worked 2 months. Alex Trebek worked 2 months on Jeopardy. Aaron Rodgers could do this forever. We'll see how many more troll moments before he breaks.
You know, the thing is, it's all this topic now about Aaron Rodgers hosting Jeopardy, and he could leave the Packers and host Jeopardy. He could host. He said, I could be the quarterback of the Packers and host Jeopardy. All right.
There's no question.
First of all, you can, because they tape all the episodes all at once.
It's
you
know, five in a week or ten in a week or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like they show up every day and tape the show and then go home and go the next day. No, they do like 20 episodes in a day, and they spend like a total of 2 or 3 months doing all the episodes. So he clearly could do that. I gotta say, so far what I've seen from Aaron Rodgers, he's fine. I'd like to see a little bit more energy and personality. I mean, you know, because Alex Trebek, even though he wasn't always didn't always have the fun, you know, outgoing personality. He's not Drew Carey hosting it. He had his own style, which was great. It was kind of snarky, but he always had a good one-liner. It was fun. I always felt like he had kind of that forward thrust with the show. And Aaron Rodgers, I feel like it's a little bit plodding. And now, Grant, this is someone that's doing this for the first time, but hey, if you're
and we've only seen 30 seconds of it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've seen a couple of other things that look, and I'm like, okay, you know, he's not bad, but a little bit more forward to, like, it feels like a cold atmosphere on the set. Like, Aaron Rodgers is still kind of just plodding his way through, and you need a little bit more that, okay, let's kind of push the pace a little bit. You know, not that you need to go crazy at breakneck speed, because Jeopardy is about the questions, and people think, can they answer, can they not, and then we go on. You know, it's kind of a nuanced thing that Alex Trebek was always phenomenal at, but so far I would say that's what I'd like to see a little bit more out of Aaron Rodgers. Does he get more comfortable as time goes on? Does he do? How is he after the first like 2 or 3 episodes? Because he's got a 2-week stint coming up. So that's kind of, if we're critiquing, because when you get to host a show like Jeopardy, okay, sure, you're doing something creative. We can tell you what we like to see. And that's kind of what I'd like to see from him going forward.
Yeah, I think that's the big point with this. And look, you get 2 weeks. So 10 shows. How comfortable do you get? I mean, how many rehearsals have they done, or are they just kind of, all right, work on your own and then we'll kind of get into it and learn on the fly? Because by the end of 2 weeks, you're comfortable. It's your space at that point. So I've got to think that there is more to it. And I've seen the energy has been one of the things that's popped off from this clip, certainly. I think that clip in particular, though, I don't know how much it's indicative of him hosting the show. And obviously the first one aired tonight here across America and Los Angeles while we're on the air and covering the NCAA championship. Not exactly a time for us to watch it in full, so I'll go back and review the tape after the game, after the show ends. But as it sits here, I'd be assuming there's more comfort levels, and with this one, part of it was wanting to probably unload and have a couple of one-liners floating through your head, deciding which one needs to go to air as opposed to, you know, let's just swallow that one because we don't need to make more of it than it is, right? Because that I think is the pause and the energy off of that answer is more the, all right, let's not create a firestorm. It's going to go viral anyway because of the guy's answer. and he thought the better of it rather than firing back with something that could have been more acid-tongued.
See, but here's the thing. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon. Here's the thing with Aaron Rodgers is that while this Jeopardy is going on, the backdrop is still, is he going to be a Packer? All right, obviously with what they did with his contract, didn't tell you they planned on him being around long term, and he's asked questions about it, and he still says the same thing. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And, you know, yeah, he didn't turn to the camera and go, I don't know, Matt LaFleur? Hey, the correct answer you're looking for is Matt LaFleur.
Right. That's the answer. I mean, he could have done that. He could have gone, walked up and said, what up, Matt LaFleur?
Right. But this is his style of, it's not Russell Wilson, hey, I don't know, and here's some teams I want to go to. It's not Deshaun Watson, this is unworkable, and I want out, and you guys all stink. No, Aaron Rodgers definitely has a different way, and it is very much understated, and he is waiting for his time to strike. He's like a cobra, right? He's not somebody I'm out here and I'm telling you, oh, we got to do this. I want to do this. I want to push around. This is, I'm going to wait. And when I make my demand, it's going to be at a time when I have the most on my side. I have the most cachet. And it's going to be, you need to do X or I am done. And I will hang out in Northern California until you trade me where I want to go. And that's what he's going to do, right? Because that's how Aaron Rodgers does it. He's not, hey, I'm going to sit here and continually be in the news and work things on social media. I'm going to let the game come to me. Oh, I'm hosting Jeopardy. People are going to ask me. I'm going to say, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. Trust me, this has just been lying around for a while, and he's going to rise up and strike when the moment is the best for him. Maybe it's the first night of the draft. Maybe it's the day before the draft. Maybe it's right after the draft where the Packers are really stuck, and he says, I'm not going to play unless you extend me, and if you don't extend me, you're not going to see me, and I'm going to sit out till you trade me. But he is going to wait, and he is going to pull that and play that card at the exact right time. Trust me. Just because we've been kind of in a dormant phase of this, of, boy, he's not making headlines every day, doesn't mean this is still not as hot button as it was a year ago when they took Jordan Love in the draft. It's just going to be the right time for Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to call the play.
Well, he's in that final year. We know of the rework contract. You and I talked about this a ton. And would they extend him? Maybe. Because that's the only other move here, is to just say, okay, you're the guy. Here's three more years. And let's be done with this. And Jordan Love either sits on the bench the whole time or they shuffle him off on draft day. Because that's still the other scenario that could play out here, saying, all right, forget it. We can get something of value since he's only 1 year removed and Aaron Rodgers becomes our guy. We get more assets. We get him more help. Right? Because that could be another way that this situation resolves itself here in the next couple of weeks. But for Aaron Rodgers, you know, when we looked at it, Jordan Love coming in project, weird off season, and we saw other guys shine. Certainly Joe Burrow before he got hurt after being buried consistently behind a bad offensive line. We were talking with Jason Lock and Fora earlier. You want to talk about unsexy draft picks? Look, I hope Penny Sewell comes in and he's a 14-year, 15-year starter with a bunch of Pro Bowls and whatever. But you know the people in Cincinnati are like, really? We had to draft a tackle? What are we doing? Like, you got to keep that guy upright. You got to do everything you can. He could be a special player. You just will never know because they've got the same narrative as, well, the Jets, except they don't trade draft picks. But when we look at and we look at Justin Herbert, right? Hey, here's a weird medical thing that went wrong. Go in, kid. And he never looked back. and had a fantastic run. And part of the reason that Anthony Lynn isn't there anymore, he was never going to play him if he didn't have to. So you've got that, right? And you try to push the next level on the offense. With Jordan Love, we never saw, right? Because Aaron Rodgers goes out and has this monster season, but it's still a disjointed offseason. So I didn't think he was going to play well, even if something befell in Aaron Rodgers. And certainly trying to move this year, I think would be a really big push by the Packers, and I don't think they're quite so bold to move on there.
So there you go. Why Jeopardy somehow just looks out and you go, oh man, I'll tell you what, Aaron Rodgers finds a way to keep that life being a beautiful mystery.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly, so be cautious at crossings. If the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, there will be no undefeated season. There will be no national championship for the Gonzaga Bulldogs. There is 1 minute left to go in the national championship. Gonzaga is not fouling. Baylor leads this 84-67. So the Baylor Bears are going to be your 2021 national champions in college basketball. And before we look back and go, oh my goodness, Gonzaga is great all year, 31-0, what happened? It's not that Gonzaga's playing terrible. They're not playing their worst game tonight, but they're playing about a B-minus game. They're shooting the ball well. They're not making a lot of threes, but they don't take a ton of threes. But they're shooting the ball okay. Your star players are still all in double figures. It's just that Baylor is playing an A game. All right. I mean, sometimes you can get away with a B-minus game in the national title if your opponent is freaky and is not ready for the lights. But Baylor is completely ready, and they have been the real thing all season long. Look, they only lost twice, and maybe if we didn't get a COVID postponement, we could have seen that earlier because Baylor and Gonzaga were scheduled to play, but we didn't. But Baylor has done everything tonight, and my goodness, are they getting the basketball? There is one team that said, we are going to get the basketball, and you are not going to get it. And if you want to look at one stat that tells you the story, Baylor, 38 rebounds to 20 rebounds for the Gonzaga Bulldogs. There is your stat of the game right there.
Well, but you go in beyond that stat, it's also team rebound. There's nobody in there fighting Baylor players. They're fighting themselves for individual stats, right? If you could just throw it under team rebound because everybody's boxed out and it's just a matter of who came down with the ball. That's the tale of the tape today, the aggressiveness off the jump. And we talked about it a lot coming into the tournament, what rankings are in coming out of this season, right? The KenPom rankings that we cite a lot, the difference between Gonzaga and Baylor was huge, and then the gap to the number six seed was less in theory. And that's why you play the games. And you come out here on a Monday night after a huge effort. Gonzaga finally tested, right? All of their games, double-digit wins, and they gut one out over UCLA. It's like, all right, was that the game that then propels them? No, they came out and they got punched in the mouth repeatedly in this game, and they had no answer. They had no answer. A bunch of unforced turnovers early, and that led to fast break points for Baylor, and they've just been bullied inside. That 38-20 margin, triple underscore that. Doesn't matter what the shooting percentages are, and Gonzaga certainly had their chances to at least cut into things from the free throw line. If they hadn't gotten so many trips to the foul line in the first half, how much worse could that game have been? Right? Yeah, it got to 10, and that was it.
Yeah, and it kind of felt like, boy, Gonzaga really got away with it in the first half. It was as good as Baylor played. You thought, okay, Gonzaga, they're still in this. But they were never able to get it closer than 10. And Baylor, as the clock ticks down to zero, The Baylor Bears are your national champions in college basketball. The celebration is underway on the court. They win it over Gonzaga 86-70. And you take a look back at where this Baylor Bear program was in 2003 with the controversy and Dave Bliss and covering up crimes. Yeah. And look where they are now. They're partying right now on the football field. Everybody's going crazy. The Baylor Bears are your national champions in 2021.
Wow, just remember that story. Oh, the stomach churning, remembering the details of all of that. Hard to believe it's been that long, but just an amazing journey in this tournament. Second best team, quote unquote, all year long. So we got the clash that we wanted for the final. And in the end, Gonzaga goes to the wayside like so many would-be undefeated teams and great teams in our history. Right. Compare what we thought about the New England Patriots when the New York football Giants took down that undefeated juggernaut. And then you look at the Warriors when they won 73 games. They didn't finish the job. Ergo, the Bulls 72 win season still reigns supreme. Homerism at its finest. But all these almost dots in our sports history, and the Gonzaga Bulldogs now go in with one of them. But, you know, great season. Tonight's all about the Baylor Bears and a fantastic effort, because they never looked back, right? They came out swinging. This is one of those, hey, they rang the bell, and instead of the feeling out process, nope, charged out of the corner of the ring, throwing big bows and kicks. I took it into the MMA because, well, we want to just get everything involved, because they threw everything they had at Gonzaga here to take them down. A fantastic effort. Congratulations, Deb Carson, because I think she won all the pick'ems as her Baylor Bears win the title.
You know, I'm reminded of that great commercial that Charles Barkley had when he was playing, when he, you know, not the I am not a role model one, which is one of the most famous commercials of all time. Listen, I'm not a role model. If you buy this shoe, it's not going to make you rebound the ball like me. It's not going to make you make plays like me. It's just going to make you have shoes like me, period, right? That was the famous one. But I love the other one he made where it's just him, and he says, the meek may inherit the earth, but they won't get the basketball. You know, like, and that's clearly, you know, what this game was, because every time Gonzaga missed a shot, and it's not like Gonzaga was terrible. Look, no, they shot 51% from the floor, but I think they had zero offensive rebounds. Every time they shot and missed, this was Baylor with three guys around the basketball, and they were getting it. Look, one of Baylor's guards had more rebounds than anybody else on the team. So this was completely one of those, we are going to come out, there's going to be no feeling part of the game, we are going to come out and try to exert our will right away, which sometimes is tough to do when you're playing a team like Gonzaga, because, okay, they're good. Let's see what they can do. Let's see what we can counter with, right? Let's see how we can counter Gonzaga. And when that happens, well, look, you're part of the game is lost already. But Baylor was the real thing all season long, man. They only lost two games, and they came out right away, and Gonzaga never made a run. No. And that's the shocking thing about this game, is that in basketball, everybody makes a run. Everybody does.
Well, college buckets, we always wait for that one big one.
Nope.
And the only quote-unquote run was to get it to 10 at halftime. 10.
Yeah, that was it.
Starting the second half, there were a couple of good possessions, but it was still at 11. And then it got into that 15 to 17 range, and it never was in doubt. 16-point margin of victory. You talk about the rebounds, 38 to 22. Offensive rebounds, 16 for Baylor in this game. And you look at total turnovers, Gonzaga finished with 14 on the night. I mean, just an incredible. Largest lead was 20. Gonzaga, the juggernaut, the highest scoring team in the land, never led.
You know, and I can't sit back and say, okay, well, what was wrong with Gonzaga? Because in the beginning of the season, they beat really good teams. You want to say, oh, look at their schedule and look what they do in conference. You know, yeah, okay. Is the West Coast Conference great? No. BYU was pretty decent this year, but I get it. But, you know, this is a team that beat Kansas early, right? They beat West Virginia early, all right? They beat Iowa. These were all top 10 teams. Then you get into their conference play, and no, then they weren't really challenged. But then you get to the NCAA. They beat Virginia, you know, by 25 points. So they played good teams. And then you get to the tournament, and, all right, you beat beat Oklahoma, you beat Creighton, you beat USC, you beat UCLA, you beat some of the teams who were playing great. This was just Gonzaga lost. This wasn't about their regular season and about them being soft. All the, Gonzaga was the best team. Baylor was better tonight. Baylor wins a national championship. There's nothing Gonzaga could have done or should have done or what happened through this that would have had them win this game. Gonzaga was great all season long. They had a bad time to play a B-minus game. Baylor played their A game. And look, this tells you really where we were at from the Elite Eight through now in college basketball. Because how many times we didn't see any Elite Eight teams play crappy and go home, right? From the Elite Eight on, it was, hey, you didn't lose this game. The other team just won it, right? And that's kind of what we saw in a lot of these big Elite Eight games, right? Obviously, Gonzaga and UCLA. UCLA didn't lose that game. Gonzaga just won it, and they made a big shot at the end. You can say that for UCLA and Alabama and all these other games. You see games in the Elite Eight and the Final Four. This was a team had an A game and had an A night, and they were just a little bit better than you. And it wasn't that you were terrible. It wasn't that you did this, or you couldn't match up with them. They were just a little bit better everywhere, and that's kind of what we've seen. That's been the theme of the past six or seven games in the NCAA tournament, and it comes to a fruition tonight for Baylor in that win.
I just want to, you know, this is one that while it wasn't close, it was fun to watch the energy from Baylor, and you're waiting on the run. You're waiting on the edge. It never came. Never came. Always a big margin here, but Gonzaga, as you mentioned, tough battle-tested off the jump and the schedule being abbreviated. Like, who knows? But certainly from the tournament perspective, look, we won, man. This last month has been fantastic, going all in. Congratulations to getting through to only losing one game because of protocols. Just an amazing a feat from all these teams and players and the coaching staffs, trainers, you name it. It's just been a joy to watch and why we celebrate these games. And I know they did the big intro coming into the broadcast, John Hamm doing the voiceover, just, you know, kind of reminding you, hey, don't get caught up in viewership numbers and whatever else. It's all about spectacle, and that's what we remember. A little bit preachy, but still, that's the point. Who cares? As long as you watched it, as long as you witnessed it and got into the emotions of these games, because it's hard not to, right? Baylor with the big team rebounds, and you see four guys pumping their fist, you know, 15 minutes left in the first half. Like, you could tell that there's just a different energy and excitement to it, and it's why we love college sports. I know there's a lot of litigation going on, a lot of things that need to be figured out, but for me, as, you know, Joe Blow here bloviating on the radio and just being a fan of the game, I got everything I wanted and then some.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
We'll have more on the game coming up in a few minutes. But yeah, just for a couple minutes on this Fernando Tatis Jr. situation. It was a really powerful swing, like Tatis likes to swing. He overswings. And he winces in pain as he falls to the ground. He cradles his left arm when he gets up, and two trainers help him off. Now, of course, Tatis just signed a $340 million contract. Eyes are on him this spring and how he's going to start out of the gate. But you could just tell that something wasn't right about him. Like, he had a left shoulder issue in spring training, then mm-hmm. came back pretty quickly. He's made five errors in his first four games. He hasn't been the same player in the field. He's only hitting 188 through the first four plus games. So you can tell there was something not right with him. I thought for when he first took that swing, I said, oh, that's going to be a pulled muscle in his rib cage or something like that. Like, that's kind of what it looked like. Oh, I overextended myself, and maybe it's one of those early season injuries. But, you know, the fact that he holds his arm, you don't know what it could be. Because, like I said, he had the shoulder injury. Now it's an arm thing. And this is a guy who is, you know, being paid a lot of money to be the face of baseball. And everybody's holding their breath right now for Tatis.
Yeah, I saw a couple of the online doctors, right? You know, and there's so many at this point. So going all the way through, wondering if it was the shoulder. But obviously, a mess, no matter what the final diagnosis is here, that you're banking on upsetting the decade-long dominance of the Los Angeles Dodgers. You just signed him to make him the face of your squad for the next, you know, 100 years, and he's one of the guys getting the push from Major League Baseball, product endorsements, and everything else. So the hope was And as, you know, going back to just my fanboy thing, I just did for college buckets. Always make mention of Mercury Morris when undefeated teams go down. We're waiting on the video there. My guy Bernie Fratto, straight out of Vegas, like, so when's that clip show up? It's like, so we'll see how fast that arrives. But
You don't think Scott May and Bobby Knight are popping champagne together, yeah, all excited? Hey, 76.
They very well may be.
76.
The spirit of 76 alive and well. But, you know, it's just the idea that you want to see greatness, right? You want to see the next guy become the next guy, even if it makes things uncomfortable for your friends, family, coworkers, and everything else, because they're Dodger fans. No, it's good for the game when a new star emerges. And you're right. The last couple days, it would be in the timeline, or I'm getting texts going, he just made another error. What the heck is going on, right? What is the deal here? And then that swing, and that's probably getting as much mention right now as I dare say it, the Baylor Bears are coming out of this game going, oh, my God.
Right. Well, when it's a 20-point game and it's okay, I mean that's just part of the world we live in right now. You know, it's like Billy Bean, right? Went in from Moneyball. Hey, Billy, so what do you want me to do? Just text me. What do you mean you're going home? Yeah, I don't watch the games.
Gonna go back into the gym, right? He's taking off the tie and he's going into the workout room. Absolutely.
I don't watch the games. Oh, you don't? I mean, that's nowadays. Hey, it's a 20-point game. Okay, I'll tune back in the second half. Hey, you know, the Sam Darnold trade is a really big deal. It's National Football League, right? It's the stuff with Fernando Tatis Jr., who just signed for a huge, huge deal. There are certain things that jump up when they become stories. And look, this game never got close.
Yeah.
All right? This is such an era where people don't make the time to sit down and watch a game from front to back unless they are really emotionally invested in it, right? As the fan I am, right, of sports, if I'm just an Abra fan, I'm not doing the shows and everything else, and I'll get the national championship game is going on tonight. You know what I'm saying to myself? If my wife says, oh, do you want to watch the game? I go, yeah, we can watch the second half. I don't think I'll need to. If there's anything I really miss in the first half, I can get on Twitter or I can look online and go, did I miss anything? No, it's just big. I check. Okay, and I'll watch the second half. I mean, that's kind of what it is, right? Because the immediacy of watching every second of every game is not quite there for all the sports. It's not there for baseball. It's not there for basketball. It's not there for hockey. It's there for football because there's only so many games, right? It's one day. You see your team play once a week for four months, and that's it, right? So there's not, well, I got a game on Sunday, then there's a game Thursday, then we play Saturday and this. And if it's a game where it's, I don't need to watch the whole thing, yeah, I'm going to tune in when I need to tune in. And that's the deal with sports now with this, is that that's why all these other things are being talked about just as much as the national title game is.
Well, how many years has the NBA been the I'll check in with 4 minutes left league? Right?
Yeah, I mean,
unless you're truly invested in your team or an individual player, or you have one of these crazy matchups that's must-see. Casual fan, you know, trying to do other things, getting their kids to and from practices or whatever else is going on. It's like, all right, let's see where the game is late. All right, now it's showtime. Let's go. Because that last 4 minutes could also take, you know, as you've chronicled with your grandparents, you know, 90 minutes to play out. So you still have plenty of TV time.
Do you like football? Do you like the NFL draft? Well, guess what? I have you covered on the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff. I need you to go subscribe right now because we're talking the draft. We're talking Zach Wilson. We're talking Justin Fields. Mac Jones. Is he really going to go to the 49ers? I have it all covered. I used to scout in the NFL, and now I talk about football on the 3 and Out podcast. Go subscribe right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. As the Baylor Bears are your national champions, they beat the Gonzaga Bulldogs in dominating fashion. 86-70 is the final score, and for a couple of minutes, there would be no show tonight if we didn't have on our resident Baylor Bear alum, who I think won every single pool we have here at Fox Sports Radio, picking her school to win. It is our own Deb Carson. Deb, congratulations.
Jason Smith, thank you so much. And I was actually terrified that I cursed them by doing that. I've never picked Baylor to go beyond the Elite Eight, so I thought for sure by picking them to win. They were going to lose in the first round, so it worked out okay.
Oh, wait, that's a violation. Hang on, that's an NCAA violation. No. I have to call the NCAA. That's a violation.
Look, she's actually trying to go through the bracket with logic as opposed to you using your orange crayon to put Syracuse in the final. Deb, what this was a non-starter, right? You guys jumped out to a huge lead. At what point did you just kick your feet up, grab a glass of wine, and just say, yep, a champion?
Honestly, not until there were about 2.5 minutes left in the game. Because I've seen this team, and Baylor teams in the past, I've seen them get out to a double-digit lead and then let teams back in and either barely win a squeaker or, you know, lose. So, you know, even when it got down to just the 9-point lead, I was like, oh, God, here we go. But then, you know, they kicked it up a notch. And honestly, it really wasn't until two and a half minutes left. And I looked at Chris and Chase. I said, are they actually going to win? Is this going to happen? So they, what a dominant team, though. I mean, they've been dominant since the beginning of the season. But after the COVID break, obviously, they looked like they were beatable. And so the way they've made this run through the tournament, I'm so proud of them. There were so many amazing role players, obviously, to go along with Davion Mitchell and Jared Butler. But what a fun team to watch. They were amazing.
I actually looked this up while you were talking. It says in the rule book, if an alumni in a sanctioned bracket challenge picks their school to go further than the Sweet 16, that is an NCAA violation.
Well, technically, I think I'm just right now, I think I didn't get put in the talent bracket this year. I've won the talent bracket before. I think I got put in the regular staff bracket, so I don't think it's an actual violation at that point.
I think I'm going to go back and print those off, and I'm just going to scrawl your name at the top, Deb, and wonder why you didn't get to put it atop the bracketology.
And, you know, Deb, here's the thing about Chase is she's going to grow up knowing nothing but Baylor being a dominant basketball team. Her whole life, we've been great. Baylor's been great. We've been great since I was born.
Exactly. It's honestly, it is amazing. I mean, especially just to think back, you know, 15 years ago and you know, the horrors that were going on 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Honestly, just to watch the program evolve and the women's program to evolve under Kim Mulkey, it's been so much fun to watch and such a nice change, obviously, from the dregs that were there before under Bliss. Not the players, but obviously just him. She's just kind of like, oh, yeah, Baylor's playing again. I'm like, dude, you don't understand. This is, you know, my senior year at Baylor, this is to give a point of reference and obviously probably to age myself a lot in the eyes of viewers. But my senior year at Baylor, it was the first time we had gone to the NCAA tournament in 25 years. So, you know, that's my point of reference. So for them to come this far in, you know, essentially a relatively short period of time, it's fantastic. So great job.
Deb, congratulations on the win. Congratulations on the national championship. Champagne flowing at the Carson House tonight.
Woo, 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 woo.
Why the name coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.